Practical Work on Self, Chapter 7, The Search for Dr. Livingstone. When we have no real identity, we can become anything suggested to us by inner and outer influences. We believe ourselves to be whatever we fall into. Just now, at this moment, we may think of ourselves as nothing more than a stupid mechanical apparatus for the transformation of organic material of one kind or another into another form of matter more suitable for fertilization of flowers. Yet just yesterday, we thought we were Mr. God himself. When our identity is immersed in the machine's sleep, we think of ourselves as the machine, and we're subject to the subtle and not so subtle suggestions of inner and outer influences upon the machine. During the course of the day, if we happen to remember to observe the activities of the machine, we may come to notice the inevitable passages of the machine through one mental identity after another. If we observe the machine over a long period of time, we can actually see these continually changing roles. Through careful observation of the machine, we can see clearly that as long as we are identified with the sleeping machine, we are not the same today that we believed ourselves to be yesterday. Yet the myth which we most believe about ourselves is that we're the same. We believe ourselves to feel the same and think in more or less the same way from day to day and even from year to year, yet we have ample proof this is not so. We live in an age of reason, of highly moral aims, yet this century, with its Hitler and Mussolini, its crimes in the name of Christ, no matter how different than the butcherous days of the medieval period when soldiers marched from Western Europe into the Holy Land to commit legendary atrocities, which were repeated during the Inquisition, and were really no different from those atrocities committed by Attila the Hun and the delightful Roman Emperor Caligula. And these people did not act alone. They had ample help from, quote, reasonable people, who thought of themselves in much the same way as we all think of ourselves, as basically good people who only want peace and quiet in their lives, who want to be left alone to enjoy the pleasures which life has to offer. The point is that we see ourselves in one light, yet underneath it all, we are savages. The machine cannot be trusted to be the same today as it was tomorrow, nor can we hold ourselves really above the machine. We have so little will that regardless of our mental decisions and our highest aims, we are unable to change anything in the machine, because it is constantly changing, and because we are identified with the machine, we change with it. The machine carries us helplessly along on its merry path to self-destruction. Do you think for a moment that things are any different inside the machine than they are outside it? History is a reflection of our inner natures, and our own internal conflicts very much resemble those of the outer world. We each have our inner Hitler, our own unique Caligula, our barbarians and ranting maniacs. But we do not think of ourselves in this way because our blithely philosophical mental centrums, tucked safely away in their ivory towers, are not in direct contact with these deeper, more animalistic parts of the machine. The fact is that we can make any aim for ourselves quite easily with the mental centrum. But when it comes right down to it, we haven't the will to drive our aim down where it really counts, right into the flesh and blood of the sleeping machine. Where then are we to obtain the will necessary for the awakening of the machine and its subsequent use as a transformational apparatus? We must now consider very distinct difference between our real identity and the identity of the machine. To begin with, the real self, the non-phenomenal self, has no will of its own beyond a will of attention, which is to say, it is only capable in the beginning, until it has developed a greater will, of simple attention. Even this, if we know how to use it, is a powerful weapon against sleep. In order to use this will of attention, we must first definitely establish our own true identity as distinguished from that of the machine. The real identity never changes. Imaginary identities continue to change, continually change. We believe ourselves to be whatever we fall into, just like children at play who eventually come to believe in their fantasy. Only when we have established an identity which is free from the sleep of the machine have we established the true source of attention, which can then actively and impartially observe all the activities and manifestations of the machine from the platform of this new, unchanging self. This station for the impartial observation of the machine is often referred to as the third eye. If we happen to observe a temporary machine identity while it is still active, we can remember to identify with the non-phenomenal source of attention by rejecting identification with the machine state, saying to ourselves, "I am not this." But this effect is only obtained while the momentary machine identity is still active. All ordinary identities originating from the machine are eventually replaced by other identities, which, because they're changeable, are obviously not the authentic self. When we are identified with the sleep of the machine, our attention is, by association, under the continual influence of the distractions and attractions of organic life. Every moment we work to awaken the machine can be an opportunity to regain our real identity. Every moment we work to awaken the machine can be an opportunity to regain our real identity. Identification with the changing self-produced states of the machine distorts our understanding of the real world. When we're able to draw back momentarily from the sleep of the machine, we can see that we've fallen into a machine-originated identity. If we're able to exert the will to awaken the machine, we can see that we've fallen into the sleep of the machine and can say to ourselves, "I'm not that." Having fallen into a machine identity, we can learn to separate ourselves from it by remembering, "I'm not that. I'm not that." Rejecting all those identities which are not eternal and unchanging, trying to discover in ourselves that one true identity which does not and cannot change. We can use this method of rejecting false identities to discover the true unchanging self in more or less the same way that Stanley tried to find Dr. Livingston in Africa. Combine this search with your other exercises, using the machine's impermanent and transient identities to remember to identify not with the sleeping machine, which is the source of these fragmentary identities and states, but with your non-phenomenal source of attention, until you find your own Dr. Livingston.